friends, it's Ken Carmen.
And Anthony Lima.
Did you know that the Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima is both a radio show and a podcast?
You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
Catch the full episode, listen by the hour, or jump straight to the highlights.
Just open up your favorite podcast app, search our names, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show.
Your way and on your time.
Nick! What's I missed you, Nick. It's been a whole week, man.
Oh, yeah. Listen, today's the first day, actually, at least in the Northeast, where it actually feels like football weather outside. Like, where I think we're 48 this morning, maybe in, like, the low 50s now. But, yeah, we're getting there, man. It's football. Let's go.
Let's do it.
Tell them, Jeff.
We got a 1-5 showdown.
No, that's not what I'm talking about.
Oh.
Tell them how the weather's off by a month. Tell them. Tell them your theory.
Everything has shifted 3 or 4 weeks, Nick. So, you know, fall doesn't really hit until mid-October.
Well, there is no fall anymore.
That's kind of true. Right. Although we've certainly had a beautiful end of summer here in Northeast Ohio.
It was summer. Like, it's been summer here in New York basically until like last week. Like, I'm going to make a bad global warming joke here. Like, I kind of love it. Like, awesome. Yeah. Like September felt like July. It was great.
Just keep the snow away. That's
I remember seeing a bumper sticker years ago. It said Chicago favors global warming.
I do.
We understand that. We have the, you can call it the hot seat bowl. We have the 1-5 bowl. Whatever it is, you have Mike McDaniel, Kevin Stefanski, and their 1-5 football teams playing this week in Cleveland. Who do you like and why?
All right. So I bet Miami 2 days ago. I bet +3. That is not the point spread anymore. Cleveland is a 2.5-point favorite. The total is 39.5. So, you know, Miami is obviously like an absolute disaster. Like, the coach is a dead coach walking. The general manager is dead GM walking. The quarterback is absolutely clueless and not playing well. And they are screwed as an organization because they can't, like, actually, like, feasibly get out of his contract until the end of next year. And, like, I think he's totally shot, Tua. Like, I think he's proven that he's not, like a winning franchise quarterback, but they paid him like one. So they're in trouble. And obviously making stupid comments in post-game pressers that he has to walk back, and it's just a total circus. But with all of that said, and to all the Browns fans out there, like, I'm going to say what I'm about to say with a lot of confidence, because I am confident. But, like, I can be wrong. I can be wrong about this. I think I'm going to be right. Dylan Gabriel can't be a 3-point favorite in an NFL game. Like, I'm sorry. And I'm curious if you guys agree with my assessment of this. Now, I ended up, like, having, like, Steelers in some money line parlays that I did last weekend. I did not lay the points with the Steelers. But we all watched the game. So I have, like, no personal involvement in it. Like, the Steelers were going to win the game no matter what. Like, they killed them in the game, right?
Mm-hmm.
So you guys watched the game.
Mm-hmm.
In all seriousness, how many passes that Dylan Gabriel threw did the Steelers drop? That he threw right to them. Like, how many interceptions did the Steelers drop last week? It was like 5, right? Am I exaggerating?
I think that's a little heavy.
Yeah,
but there were some, no question.
Three or four?
Apparently, he throws such a hot ball.
Yeah,
neither the Steelers nor the Browns can catch it.
Well, I mean, the reason why he throws the ball so hard is because he doesn't trust his arm. Like his arm's not strong enough.
I got to argue with you on that, Nick. All of the rankings and all of the draft combine stuff shows the guy has a strong arm. Now, whether he knows where it's going, you can make that argument.
He launched like a 50. I know he has no official turnovers, but at the half last week, they tried a Hail Mary, and he threw that ball 50 yards in the air. 55 yards in the air at the end of the half. So, yeah, I don't know.
I'll give you my opinion.
Okay.
I think that he will be a backup quarterback, and there's something to be said for that. I'm not trying to, like, crap on the guy. I mean that sincerely. I don't think he's a starter. I don't think I think he's miscast in this role. But we talked about that before the year, that this is what the season was going to be. Like, Shadur's going to play at some point for the Browns. Like, Bailey Zappe might play at some point for the Browns this year. Like, that's what this season's going to be. I don't think Dylan Gabriel's good enough to be a 3-point favorite in an NFL game. Now, if you want to construct an argument that he doesn't matter in the game because Quinshon Judkins is going to run for 120 yards and Myles Garrett and company are going to destroy the Dolphins' offensive line, like, that's a fair argument to be made, and it absolutely could happen. I am making the bet solely because I don't think the quarterback on the other side is good enough to merit a point spread like this. So I bet the Miami Dolphins. I bet them plus three. Mm. That I would not bet plus 2.5. I need three to bet the Miami Dolphins guys on Sunday.
Mm. I think we would all agree. Facts and history outweigh hope, in my estimation. And so with that
sounds
in mind...
Sounds like you like Dylan Gabriel.
No. With that in mind, I think you're hard-pressed to think that Dylan Gabriel or Shedeur Sanders is your franchise quarterback here in Cleveland.
There's no chance.
That's what we're thinking, you're going to draft one next year.
100%. I said that with you guys in August, right, or before the season started.
We said it, and you said it as soon as they made the trade and traded down from two.
Oh, absolutely. Well, I mean, I think it's pretty... And like you guys know, so you agree with me, right? I don't even think it's an argument. Like Shedeur Sanders went in the fifth round. And look, it's preseason. Like what Shedeur did in that third preseason game against like backups, I think it was like six completions and six sacks taken in a preseason game. Like it's not good. And I'm not trying to say like he can't be on an NFL roster or he's going to be bad. We haven't seen him play. But like let's call a spade a spade. The Browns franchise quarterback of the future is not on the roster right now.
I would agree.
So, I don't even think, and if it is like they're in big trouble. Now look, they're 1-5,
or they're gonna get really lucky, and which is possible.
And I think it's more likely to happen with Shedeur than it is with Gabriel. Gabriel higher floor, Shedeur. So like, Dylan Gabriel's less likely to embarrass you, but Shedeur I think is more likely to reach like big heights at some point in his career. But look, like they're 1-5. They're going to be starting two quarterbacks who shouldn't be starting likely the rest of the year. They're going to be in contention for the number one overall pick, and they have Jacksonville's first round pick. Now, the Jags are 4-2, but they're 3-point dogs this weekend in London against the Rams. They could be 4-3. They could have two, their pick's going to be a top five pick. Let's see where Jacksonville's is. And if there's a quarterback that they really like, maybe it's Indiana's Mendoza, we'll see what this is. Like, you've got ammunition to be able to trade up to get your guy. So this season, like I said with you guys, can the young players on the roster show that they are, you know, cornerstones that you can build an organization on? The good news is, I think the answer to that question is absolutely yes. And then you get your quarterback next year, and you're cooking with gas in like 2 years. So I actually think the Browns are on the right track here. I just don't think it happens this Sunday against Miami or this year.
Tonight's game fascinates me just because of the two quarterbacks. So Pittsburgh, Cincinnati tonight. What do you like, and what don't you like?
I just, you know, I'm 42 now, and I don't often get to, like, look at the TV and say, hey, man, there's, like, two guys my age starting quarterback in the NFL playing a game. So the Steelers, guys, are 5.5-point road favorites at Cincinnati. The total in the game has been bet up. We're now at 44.5. So directionally, we've gone up through 44, which is one of the key numbers when you talk about totals, and that's not a math thing. Just think about the scoring of the NFL, 3-7, 41, 44, 47 are the three numbers that really matter with totals. So going through 44 matters. It means this is expected to be a higher scoring game than average right now with the betting market. So Cincinnati is starting to draw betting interest, right? And you guys as Browns fans and and people that live in Cleveland know this, right? That historically with Mike Tomlin, this is a spot where the Steelers fall flat. Like, decent-sized road favorite coming off a win. Expectations are high. And we've seen them. Like, it happened a lot in the Roethlisberger years. Like, they...
Hey, friends, it's Ken Carmen.
And Anthony Lima.
Did you know that the Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima is both a radio show and a podcast?
You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
Catch the full episode, listen by the hour, or jump straight to the highlights.
Just open up your favorite podcast app, search our names, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show.
Your way and on your time.
Lose games like this, right? If I had to bet the game, I'd actually bet the Steelers. I think Cincinnati is big time up against it. The offensive line stinks. The defense stinks. It stinks with Trey Hendrickson, and he's unlikely to play in the game. I think Pittsburgh might wreck them. Now, I don't think I'm going to bet the game, but just saying, if I had to bet the game, I would bet the Pittsburgh Steelers. If you would like, I can give you a series of prop bets for tonight's game.
Oh, do it. Let's hear it.
Okay. A yardage prop, and then I'm going to give you three, not wacky, but down the board anytime touchdown.
Wait, wait, is there an over under on ARP commercials during the game? Keep going. Sorry.
They might have to up it with Rodgers and Flacco under center. DK Metcalf's yardage prop is 64.5. The Bengals are not going to be able to rush the passer. Like, they don't have their best pass rusher. I think Rodgers is going to have all day and is just going to pick them apart. And Metcalf's been an absolute stud. I'll go over DK Metcalf receiving yards. It is a square public bet. And guess what? Like, sometimes the public wins. And I think it will tonight with Metcalf. As far as anytime touchdowns go, so I'm just going to bring the market up here. And I'm going to tell you briefly why I like these bets. Let's start with Pat Freiermuth. Okay. Who has kind of been relegated to Pittsburgh's number three tight end behind hulking 6'7" Darnell Washington and Jonnu Smith. Yeah, he's so good, too.
He's fun to watch, yeah.
He's like a starting left tackle who can also catch the ball.
Yeah, it's cool.
He's awesome. Now, Freiermuth plays less than those two guys. But per Nathan Yonke, who covers this stuff, usage for Pro Football Focus, and he does amazing work for people that like this kind of stuff, Pat Freiermuth plays when the Steelers are in three wide receiver sets, which means that on downs where they're throwing the ball, he's out there. And those are valuable snaps, obviously. Mm-hmm. Freiermuth is third among Steelers tight ends on the board to score a touchdown tonight. So let's play Pat Freiermuth at +625. Let's also take a look at Caleb Johnson. He's Pittsburgh's rookie running back. If you remember in week 2, the ball went over his head on a kick return. Seattle recovered in the end zone. He was sent to the doghouse, hasn't been seen really much, except coming out of the bye last week, he was pretty involved in this offense, you know, against Cleveland. He had 6 carries in the game. So I think we're going to see this start to become a 3-man backfield with Warren, Gainwell, and Caleb Johnson. So the anytime touchdown bets, these are small money bets to win more. He's +750. Caleb Johnson, anytime touchdown. And last one, the Bengals have 2 tight ends that are out for tonight's game. Mike Gesicki is on injured reserve, yep, and Tanner Hudson is out with a concussion. Drew Sample is 13-1 to score a touchdown, runs a lot of routes, and caught 2 catches last week from Joe Flacco. So Drew Sample, Caleb Johnson, Pat Freiermuth, they're not favorites, so like none of them could score. So a little to win a lot. We hit one of them, we profit, and the DK Metcalf over receiving yards.
Nick, always a pleasure. Thank you, buddy.
Thanks, Nick.
Wishing everybody minimal sweats winning bets the absolute very best of luck.
Well, I got to tell you, the question is, where the heck's he been?
Doesn't matter. He's with us today. That's
all
that
really matters. One of our all-time favorite guests here on Baskin and Phelps joins us right now on the Fan Hotline. Why is he one of our all-time favorite guests?
Because he's Mr. Low-Key. That's why.
Let us count the ways.
Yes.
He's low-key.
Yeah.
He's mellow.
Oh, yeah.
He played in the NFL.
Yep.
He played at Ohio State.
Mm-hmm.
He played at St. Ed's.
Mm-hmm.
And he tolerates us. He's former offensive lineman Alex Boone. Hello, Booney.
Booney.
Tolerates you guys. I love you guys. Are you kidding me? Stop it.
How are you, man?
I'm doing great. And I'll tell you what, it's great to be back in Cleveland. My God, it feels good here.
Are you in town?
You know what? I just landed a little bit ago, and I'm so excited. Not for, obviously, the Browns, but to be back home, it's always a great, great experience.
That's awesome. We're glad to have you in town. That's terrific. The Browns are 1-5, Booney.
I know. Believe me, I've been watching, and I'm wondering what is going to happen next. And I get scared because I love Kevin. I love him to death.
You were with him in Minnesota in 2016.
I know how hard he works. I know how smart he is. I know how much it means for him to do well as a team, and I know the discipline that he wants to put down on a team. But at some point, I know that it's like, hey, you had every right to go out and win. I get it. Your tackles are down. That's why we draft. That's why we go to free agency. We need to have depth. If you look at these great teams, every one of them always has great depth because you're going to lose guys. This is the most physical sport. They're going to fall down. They're going to get hurt. They're going to get boo-boos. And if you don't have somebody that can step up, i.e. a good quarterback, a good couple tackles, then all of a sudden the offense just falls down, right? And all of a sudden the defense starts looking at you like, listen, we can do this for long enough, but eventually we're going to start pointing fingers. And I've been on that side. And let me tell you how ugly it gets because fist fights start happening and it starts going, yeah, who are you talking to like that? I'm here with you too, aren't I? I'm doing this work. It's not me, it's him. And then all of a sudden you become a part of the problem. I'm telling you guys, not a good recipe.
How tough is it to play when you're playing with 3/5 of an offensive line, both tackles? Jack Conklin's been hurt left and right all season. They're trying to figure out what to do at left tackle between Cam Robinson and Cornelius Lucas. Tell me, how hard is it?
It's hard. It's hard because you can't plan for what the defense is going to do, right? How are they going to scheme us up? How are they? You can do whatever you want in chips, and I'm going to put a tight end over here, and I'm going to help you as much as you want. But the minute that the defense puts everybody on one side and they say, oh, that's a backup, we're going to put our best player over there one-on-one. Now all of a sudden it's like, okay, yeah, he's got a chip, but eventually that fight's going to happen. And it's not going to go well, right? Schematically, defenses can figure you out quickly. They know how they're going to attack you. And at some point as an offense, you have to get the run game going. If you can't run the ball, you can't even play this game anymore. You have to be able to stretch the field. You have to be able to beat on people. And that's what the run game allows you to do, beat on their corners and safeties.
With that thought in mind, the other day the Browns ran it 17 times. And they threw it 52 and had six more dropbacks where Dylan Gabriel was sacked. And afterwards, Joe Bitonio, and we all respect Joe and we know what a great player he's been for a long time, said, when you drop back 60 times in a game, the guy's going to get hit. What are they thinking?
It's a lot, all right? And you're playing the Steelers and nothing's happening and you're kind of going in at halftime like, what are we doing? This is a divisional game. We could take this right now. I know what they're thinking and trying to be competitive, but at some point, we've all talked about this in the media, and we've seen it in the rooms where a coach comes in and he's like, hey, listen, I got away from who we are because I got a little nervous. I thought at any moment they could throw it to four and DK could go crazy. Or how about they throw it to that left tackle running across the middle of the field? Did you see Washington? It's like he's getting bigger every week. I'm not sure what's going on. It's like CeCe Sabathia over here. I'm like, dude, whoa. Insane. But at some point, right, all of a sudden Kev's like, hey man, we have to match them. We have to put points on the board. We got to do something. We got to start throwing the ball. But it's like, hey, if we can get the run game going early and we can become almost like this Seattle team that they're not running the ball effectively, but the fact that they have two running backs, you're like, man, they just keep cramming it up there. And then what starts working later? The play action. Like the Colts, right? You talk about a team that's right now, like they're just, well, we got a serviceable quarterback, but our running back's phenomenal, right? And so we're going to lean on this, and this guy's going to look great. That's what you want the Browns to do. Whether it's a running back by committee, whether it's just giving it to Judkins and letting him go, you have to run the ball effectively and more. It opens up the play action, which then opens up the rookie quarterback to stand back there a little bit. But if he's standing back there 60 times as a rookie, that's not good. That's not good.
I don't know. Tell me, like we've been listening to Kevin a lot. You've been in locker rooms before. What do you think Kevin's going through right now? Because, I mean, the outside noise is not good at all, and I know he's just trying to focus on this week's game.
Absolutely, and it can't be easy, right? The stress of being in Cleveland, a blue-collar city that prides themselves on football, and now all of a sudden it's a tough task. You don't have your tackles. It's the two pridest positions on the offensive line, and when you're rotating guys in and out, and I don't know, Cam went down last week. Is he playing this week?
That's a good question.
Yeah, still up in the air.
We're still wondering.
See, once again, we're doing this revolving door. And if I'm Kev, I'm over here like, my God, now don't get me wrong. If there was a team that's in dismembered, Miami is them, right? Like, if I'm Kev, I'm in there like, guys, we're it. We're the ones that finish these guys for the season. We need to go out and punch them in the mouth. We need to kick them in the face. Hell, they're showing up late to player-only meeting. That's almost impossible, right? The fact that we know this, guys, we should go out and stomp them now. And if he can do that, you can start to rally this team. Now, I will say this. Trading Flacco to the Bengals, that was a dirty move. That was dirty. And when Tomlin came out and said that, I was like, oh, he is so pissed right now. Because who's the one guy who knows the Steelers better than anyone? Probably the guy who played for the Ravens for 30 years, right? Like, yeah. This is – it's funny, but at the same time, I wonder how much of that's going to hurt you too later, right? Because – not that you were ever going to put him back in, but you gave that team somebody that has answers to you again. You know what I'm saying? Like, you've opened your playbook now up to them because Joe's going to be down there like, oh, yeah, this is what they do. And this is how they're going to do this, and this is what they're going to do to call this, this. And at some point, you went too far to do it, but getting a win this week against Miami would be huge for the Browns.
Alex. Hey friends, it's Ken Carmen
and Anthony Lima.
Did you know that the Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima is both a radio show and a podcast?
You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
Catch the full episode, listen by the hour, or jump straight to the highlights.
Just open up your favorite podcast app, search our names, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show.
Your way and on your time.
Alex Boone joining us, former NFL lineman, Ohio State Buckeye, St. Ed Eagle. Riddle me this one. We're on the outside. We've never played in the NFL. If you have two veteran quarterbacks on your team in training camp, and you have two guys you drafted in the third and fifth rounds, and you trade the one guy who, the former Steeler, Kenny Pickett. Then you get into the season and you trade Flacco and you decide you're going with the rookie quarterbacks. What does that say to the guys in the locker room? Anything?
You know, I try to think about this a little bit because when I saw that Flacco trade, I was like, if I was in that locker room, what would I say? And at some point I would be like, okay, I get it. It wasn't working out. Why we gave them to a division rival, I don't know. I don't know. I don't see that side of it. Like, I get the whole we got rid of him. We don't need him. We don't want him. We don't know what's being said in that room. But at some point, if I turn around and I see two rookies back there, I go, boys, it's time to bite down real hard and get ready. It's going to be a long season. It's going to be one of those seasons where you're going to be trialed by fire. And you are going to have a lot of answers for that young kid on the field. He might not be killing something. You need to kill it. He might not be alerting something. You need to alert it. When the young guys are back there, you up front especially need to pay more attention, right? Because they don't understand all these twos and ones and cover three and four. They don't understand why we're checking in and out of things at times. And so sometimes I'm starting to wonder, are bad plays because the quarterback's not doing something? Are bad plays there because we should be checking out of this? Like, you're just not going to know going forward. And that's why it becomes a, if we weren't paying attention before, boy, we really got to pay attention now, because we could be running the wrong play into something, because this kid's going to go, guys, I'm a rookie. I didn't know we don't do that, right? Like, that's a simple answer for them, where up front the coach can look at you and go, you knew we shouldn't have ran that. What are we doing? Oh, coach, I don't know. I'm listening to the rookie, right? Like, I'm listening to the young kid now. What am I doing? It's a mess, man. It turns into a real problem at times.
All right, so we had this conversation yesterday about walking into the locker room with the optimism. Look, I know they're 1-5. I know only four teams have ever made the playoffs at 1-5. I just can't believe there's anybody that walks in the locker room and says, and I know sometimes guys will say it's a business, and I know it's a business decision to do this or do that, but I just can't imagine anybody that's made it to the pinnacle of the game walks in the locker room and says, you know what, we're going to be better off if we lose this game. That drives me insane. Please tell me that's not true. Not or please tell me that I'm right.
Who would ever say that? No. Listen. Me biting down real hard is me accepting this challenge and going, this is why I'm here, right? I'm here because I'm knowledgeable, I'm smart, and I'm tough. Me, along with my friends, we're going to do some great things. It's going to be a really long road because we're going to help this young man all the way through it. He's probably going to throw some picks. He's going to take some sacks that he shouldn't take. That's okay, right? We're learning with that. But we're going to go out and fight really hard. If anything, and this is, don't ever tell anyone I said this, but this is how I look at it. I'm more like, hey, why don't we run the ball 52 times a game and throw it 12 times a game?
Thank you.
If we know that this kid doesn't need this much pressure on him, why don't we just reverse this whole theory and we see who really wants to play? Let's become the Lions for a little bit. Let's go out and punch everybody in the mouth and go, yeah, we're still here and we're just having fun now, right? Like, we're like the track team up the street. We're just here to have fun, punch you in the mouth and see how much you want to play, because you probably thought we were asleep and dead, but now we're not. We're awake. That's how Kevin's going to get this team back. Hey, guys, we're not going to go out here and throw the ball 75 times. That's not smart. But instead, we're going to get creative on offense. We're going to change up some of our schemes. The run games are going to become super creative. Let's have some fun. Let's pitch the ball. Let's toss the ball. Let's trap everybody. Let's crunch some people. Let's go nuts. You have a young running back and an offensive line going, hey, we don't want to do this 60 times. This kid can't get hit six more times every game. That's not possible.
Can they do that with this offensive line, with the tackle in uncertainty and with the three guys in the middle, Betonio, Posick, Teller, veterans who I won't say are on the back nine of their careers, but probably are.
I know exactly what you're saying, and it hurts me to say that too because I love those two guards, right?
Like, yeah, I do too.
Those guys have been doing it a long time, and they're tough as nails. I mean, toughest guys to wear shoes, but that's what makes you an O-lineman. If you can't run the ball, you don't belong in this league, right? That's why you should always be able to fall back on your fundamentals. Hey, this game gets hard. We're going to kick it to duo. Why? Because duo involves all of us punching all of them in the face. And then in the next series, we're going to do a fake duo go-go, double dancer, right? Like, we're going to just pretend to hit the duo. All these linebackers are going to be like, they're not going to punch us in the mouth this time. And then all of a sudden, there goes Jerry Jeudy right down the field, right? Or there goes Njoku right up the field. It's one of those things where you have to rely on the run game, and once you start seeing what the run game does to the defense, pulls safeties into the box, gets linebackers on their toes and not on their heels, now you have them right where you want them, and that's when you dink and dunk right over them, right? And then they go back to, hey, we can't be biting on all this. And then you go, okay, now we're right back to duo. You'll go biting back. Watch this. Watch Betonio coming down here, smacking you in the face. You'll start stepping back up. It's a cat and mouse game. You just have to always be the cat, never the mouse.
You in town to coach this weekend? Man, we really could use you over at the stadium.
We're ready.
Can you go over the field?
Get down there on the field.
Just 10 minutes. Just give the speech before the game.
That would be great.
Listen, don't tease me, but I'm not going to lie, guys. I may be here for a job offer.
Oh.
We may be having to come back home. I mean, I do miss – it smells so much cleaner here. I can't even lie. It smells like pigskin and football. Oh, my God. Hey, I come from the hockey country, okay? Up there, it smells like ice, and yes. Whatever they put in the ice is terrible.
It's the Zamboni. It's the odors from the Zamboni.
Alex, terrible. Pleasure to have you with us. Thanks, buddy, and we hope to have you with us on a much more regular basis. Thanks, dude.
Thanks, Alex.
Thank you. See you guys soon.
Boone has us in recovery right now. I'm just telling you.
Tell me you wouldn't run through a brick wall for him. Like, if he was your coach.
I wouldn't get through the brick wall, but I'd give it a try.
I would.
He would make me give it a try.
Doesn't he get you? We got a 1-5 team, and I'm like, I don't know. He gets me. I was pumped up. You know, as always, you can listen to this show and all of our local shows on The Fan on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I loved what Boone said. How about if we flip the script? Kevin can get the team, get the locker room, get it behind him by saying, we're just going to go beat the you-know-what out of these guys. We're running it 52 times instead of throwing it like they did against the Steelers. And we're going to pass 17 times. Look, run, as Boone said. Run. Oh, Jerry Jeudy over the middle, 45 yards. What do you think of that idea? Mike's in Orlando. Hello, Mike.
Hey, Mike.
Hey, good morning, man. How are we today?
Wonderfully well.
Great. Hey, I've always been a firm believer in what I call smash mouth football.
Mm-hmm.
You know, maybe you go back to a run game, and I'm not saying go back to college with the wishbone and the stacked eye, but if you get two good running backs, one's a blocking back, one's a running back, and then I think that the RPO becomes a much greater option, and it's more dangerous than throwing the ball 52 bloody times.
Mike, I love the idea.
I'd like to see the run.
Booney's an offensive lineman. He loved the idea. You let the offensive lineman do what it is they do best.
Let them push.
I keep going back to Joel Bitonio. Joel is such a team player, it's ridiculous. But after the last game, when you drop back 60 times, he's going to get hit.
Question.
Sure.
A quick question, then I'll let you go.
Oh, thanks.
When did the NFL evolve away from the running game and get more into the passing game? It just seems to me that running backs have no stock capital anymore.
That's absolutely true. And, Mike, they've done that with rule changes because people like watching teams throw the football. It's kind of that
20
simple.
20 years into that? 20, 25 years?
It's more now so than it's ever been, but it's been a process. There's no question. Running backs used to be the guys. You know,
and linebackers.
It was the middle, and now it's on the edges. Corners make the money. Wide receivers make the money. It used to be linebackers were the beasts, and running backs were your bread and butter. I mean, think of, take a look at past drafts. You know, O.J. Simpson, Barry Sanders. These guys were high draft picks. Emmitt Smith. The running backs were the high picks. Now they think they can get running backs in the, if you draft a back in the second round, that's high. And guess what? They're right. Remember, but you want a team that's changed it? Boone just said, let's go be the Detroit Lions. Remember, they signed David Montgomery when Dan Campbell went up there. They signed David Montgomery in free agency. And they signed him away from Chicago. And David Montgomery is a pretty gifted running back. And then what did they do? They drafted Jahmyr Gibbs in the first round when everybody went, what? You just signed Montgomery and now you're taking a running back that high? That's too high for a running back. Well, how's that working for them, Andy?
It's working pretty good right now, Jeff.
I think it is too. Mike's in Cleveland. Hello, Mike.
Good morning or good afternoon.
Yes,
close
sir.
Enough. Hey, and I love Alex Boone, and I'm from the blue side of the yellow and not the green side, if you catch my drift.
Yep, got it.
But
I root for all of them once they get their cap and gown and walk through that line. I root for all of them.
Hail the blue and gold. And it ain't Michigan. So, anyhow, he hit it right on the head. Like, go after him. And it reminded me of something that I read. There's a great book with Valvano. I know this is a different sport, but when Jimmy V played Houston and he went to the press conferences and was like, yeah, we're going to slow it down, we're going to slow it down, we're going to slow it down. And then in practice, he said, we're going to take it right to him, you know? So let's take it to him. You know, get nasty down there. You know, do something that people aren't expect you to do. You know, and I love when he said, instead of throwing it 52 times, run it 22 times. Run it 52 times, don't throw it 26 times. You know where I'm coming from.
So wait, you have running backs. You drafted Judkins high. You've got Sampson. You got Jerome Ford.
You know what I'm doing. I'm just like, it's traffic. But he got me juiced up.
Awesome.
You know what I mean? Because now I want to get pads on and go hit somebody.
I said the same thing. And by the way, you have to say that you're smarter because of somebody that went to Ignatius. I'm just saying it, man.
He went
all
to Ignatius.
Right,
Booney
right.
went to
Ignatius. No, I went to Ed. No, sorry. Everything's fine. Dude, we're terrible. We're 1-7.
Hang in there, Mike.
Yet somehow
better days
still
ahead for the Wildcats.
Figure out a way to make the playoffs.
Better days ahead.
When's the last time there was a running back taken number one overall? I had to think about it for a second.
Is it O.J.? It's been since O.J.
DeJohnna Carter. It's
been long since O.J.
In 95. And then I thought, wasn't there?
We don't see that much anymore. How about that?
It's been forever.
Mark is in Cleveland. Hello, Mark.
Hi, guys. How you doing?
Great.
Hey.
Go, Mark. Mark, did you hang up by chance? Mistake?
Hello?
Yeah, go ahead.
Yes.
Go.
Yeah, I wanted to say what Alex said was all, you know, that sounds like a guy with a winning mentality. And, you know, we all know Kevin Stefanski's not stupid, and he's smart. But what's going on when you have the one guy that's the only person that Steelers were looking out for, were game planning against on first and goal from the 3-yard line, that guy's sitting on the bench. What is going on? That sounds like he's just trying. He doesn't want to win. I can't see how you can do that. Throw the ball, give up on the running game after the first quarter in Pittsburgh.
Mark, I couldn't agree with you more.
The offensive line is banged up. That's the best thing you can do for them. He's doing everything the opposite. It sounds like he's trying to. Like
see
he's
what
trying
he does
lose.
This week? Let's see if he opens up the offense this week. Let's see what he does.
Couldn't agree with you more, Mark. Couldn't agree more.
Booney got everybody fired up. How about this? I think we're all ready to run through a brick wall. Love it.
I just think that this team is built to run the football. How about this, Andy? I know it's not built to pass the football.
By the names on the back of the jerseys of the wide receivers, I would probably agree with
and,
you.
And
yes.
The quarterbacks at this point.
Yeah.
Okay?
Yes.
I hope, and by the way, everybody who calls or emails or whatever about Shador, can we just keep this in mind? We all hope that he becomes a stud. We all hope Dylan Gabriel becomes a stud.
Jeff, you
right
don't want to play. Tell everyone you don't like him and you don't want to play, because that's what that's what everybody seems to be hearing, yet I've never heard you say that once.
Not once.
Neither one of us have said
I hope they both become great players. Wouldn't that be awesome if we had two really good young quarterbacks? Oh, my God.
You'd have to
Stop
trade
me,
one.
Andy.
You'd
Pinch
have to trade
me, my
one.
Friend. Pinch me.
You'd have to trade
me.
Shador.
But the best thing they can do for those guys right now is run the football. And what's the best thing you can
it's
do for a beat-up offensive line? Run the football.
Or throw super short passes like they tried to do last week, but just 52 of them isn't going to work. And again, something's not right when your tight end is when your tight ends, plural, are your leading receivers. Something's not right.
Charlie's in Cleveland. Hello, Charlie.
My fellas, man, look, man, we're 1-5. Mm-hmm. We're trying to figure out how to get a wild card spot. This is what we're talking about.
Oh,
we're
Charlie, just me and you. We're the only two talking about wild card. Me and you. We're it. Me and you.
Look, and then like 5 minutes ago, you guys had this analyst on. Sounded like he was eating a bowl of Red Bull on steroids, talking about running through walls.
Yes. Charlie, that wasn't an analyst.
Hey, seriously, man.
He's one of us.
That's a former NFL offensive lineman, Charlie.
This is week in and week out. This is what we're getting fed every week and week in out. I mean, this Sunday was, you know what's going to happen? The Gatorade boy didn't pass out the Gatorades, and we lost by 3. It's just, I mean, the stuff has just got to stop.
Pickle juice, cramping, bad. Yes.
You know what I'm getting at?
Well, I hear you.
A bowl, Red Bull on steroids. That guy had me so hyped. I almost actually quit my job if I had a job. You know what I'm getting at? I mean, but that's all we got now these days. That's exactly what we got. You know what I'm getting at?
Charlie.
That is all we got. We got a guy that's going to take 5 minutes of our time and pump us up and give us the hope and the faith to try to get up this morning and try to eat a bowl of Red Bull on steroids. You know what I mean?
I mean, Charlie.
Beyond Wheaties. The guy is beyond Wheaties. You know the Wheaties commercials?
Yeah.
Can you imagine him flying through that?
Yeah, John Belushi eating donuts and smoking a cig.
Right. I mean, 1 in 5, fellas. I mean, we are who we are, man. I don't care. You can fire Kevin Sabatsky and put in Red Bull, fella. And it ain't going to change. Nothing's going to change right now, man. I'm so tired, I'm going to pass out. I'll see you guys later.
All right, Charlie. Charlie.
Go ahead and click the one.
You're energized right now, Charlie. Go out.
I got to tell you.
Maybe right now we can go out and look for a job. He's got all the energy.
That is a top 10 line on the show. Ever.
Red Bull guys got him cranked up.
I was just about to leave my job if I had a job. Oh, my God.
Charlie, that was one of the best calls we've ever had.
Yes. Well done. Well,
by the way, Dano, text Booney and tell him he's now known as Red Bull guy.
I will also state, I don't, from years of knowing him, that's just him. I don't think there's enhancements taking place. That's just Booney.
No, that's absolutely true. I told him this. I was doing sideline reporting on St. Ed Radio. It was such a great time.
Mm-hmm.
Jim Mueller, the late Jim Mueller, an outstanding sportscaster in Northeast Ohio, was our play-by-play guy.
Mm-hmm.
Tom Cousineau was our color analyst, and I did sidelines. And we had such fun doing those. And Alex was a young kid on those teams, and he was just huge. And I thought, I can't wait to see what happens with this guy. And his brother, J.J. Boone, was a linebacker, mm-hmm. And he was just a commando, man. It was great fun.
Hey friends, it's Ken Carmen
and Anthony Lima.
Did you know that the Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima is both a radio show and a podcast?
You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
Catch the full episode, listen by the hour, or jump straight to the highlights.
Just open up your favorite podcast app, search our names, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show.
Your way and on your time.